Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
God, who became a man and died on a cross to save me of my sin and rose from the dead, I don't have time to think about him. That's the tragedy of the modern Christian experience. But we have to break ourselves out of it and get back to that place of looking at these eternal things.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, in a message titled, Christ Died for Us. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
The ancient Roman philosopher Cicero asked that decent Roman citizens not even speak of the cross because it was too disgraceful a subject for the ears of decent people. So this was just a horrific thing. It's just horrific. And I would say that to our sensibilities, especially to our sensibilities who have lived in a culture where law has, you know, ruled and where, you know, murder is fairly rare and it's punished and, you know, we don't have cruel or unusual types of punishment, things like that. I mean, you know, I think people like us, if we were to actually see somebody be crucified, we probably couldn't bear it. We probably couldn't even hold up under the gruesomeness of the whole thing. The victim was affixed to the cross with either ropes or nails. In the case of Jesus, we know it was nails. These would have been 5 to 7 inches or 5 to 7 inch rough metal spikes driven into the most sensitive nerve centers on the human body, the hands, in the area of the wrist and the feet. This would have left the victim writhing in pain. The agony of crucifixion is due in part to the fact that it is a prolonged death by asphyxiation. Crucified people could hang on a cross for anywhere from 3 to 4 hours or for as long as 9 days, passing in and out of consciousness as their lungs struggle to breathe while laboring under the weight of their body. Now, we know that Jesus was on the cross for a matter of hours. Crucifixion did not take place in dignified privacy, but rather in open public places. That's just a horrific thing. And these are the things that Jesus willingly subjected himself to. You know, knowing completely, this is the thing. There was no, you know, in a sense, there was no mystery about what he was getting into. He knew completely what he was in for, and with that knowledge, he voluntarily gave himself. You know, I have to just admit, if God asked me, of course he wouldn't, but just say for conversation's sake, if he said, I want to use you to save the world and you need to get crucified in order to do it, what do you think? I'd say, no thanks. It's as simple as that. I wouldn't even think twice about it. But Jesus, knowing this, knowing what he was going to experience, he willingly comes. Now, there wasn't just the physical suffering. There was also tremendous emotional suffering. We read in Luke's gospel that Jesus in the garden, as he prayed there approaching his arrest and ultimately the cross, you remember Luke tells us that he sweat great drops of blood. Now, there is a condition that is extremely rare where a person under the most extreme forms of stress can sweat blood. But it's very, very rare because very few people ever come under that kind of stress and survive it. But Jesus is under this amazing amount of emotional distress over what is about to transpire, and he sweats, Luke tells us, great drops of blood. We mentioned it before, but looking at it from the emotional side, Jesus was mocked. Now, perhaps you've been mocked. I've been mocked on occasion. But this was a different sort of a mocking. It was a merciless mocking. It was a mocking with a murderous intent behind it. Now, nobody likes to be mocked. It's something that, you know, it's painful for us emotionally when people do things like that to us. But this is the kind of thing that Jesus endured emotionally. He was spit upon. And in that culture, spitting on somebody was not just, you know, just to spit on them, but it was a statement of just absolute disapproval, disgust, just the most contemptible thing you could demonstrate toward a person was to spit at them. And they spit at Jesus. When people were crucified, they were stripped completely naked. And there's absolutely no reason to think that Jesus would have been an exception to that. Stripped completely naked. And they're hung up on that cross publicly. And crucifixion and all that was involved in it was just utterly humiliating and totally dehumanizing. And this is the kind of emotional suffering that the Lord endured for us. This is what it means that he endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus despised this kind of treatment. He despised being in that position, taking his place among sinners, the holy, righteous Son of God. It, you know, in a lot of ways, it's just incomprehensible for us. But he was utterly and completely humiliated. And so emotionally, he suffered. But then he suffered spiritually. And his spiritual sufferings were expressed when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this again is something that I don't think we even have the capacity to even comprehend this. We might have at times in our lives been in such a desperate state that we felt perhaps that God had forsaken us, but the fact of the matter was he hadn't. But Jesus was genuinely, truly forsaken by God at this point. And again, for him, that would have been a completely different thing than it would be for us as well. We're sinners, and we've already experienced to some degree an alienation from God, so we know a little bit about that just because of our sinful state. But Jesus is sinless. He's pure, he's holy, he's righteous, and he has lived in perfect communion with his Father from the beginning. So his human spirit is now separated from God as he bears the punishment for our sin. The fellowship that was there from the beginning of his earthly life was now severed as the Father turns his face away from the Son.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Now remember, Jesus is different than us in that he possesses a human nature and he possesses a divine nature. Of course, in his divinity, he could not die. He's eternal. But he was every bit a human being. Just as you and I communicate with God through our spirit, just as we are body, soul, and spirit, or spirit, soul, and body, so Christ, as a human being, he was the same, spirit, soul, and body. And it's in the realm of the spirit that we have that fellowship with God. But our fellowship with God, of course, was broken by sin. It is restored through faith in Christ. We go in and out sometimes of fellowship with him because of sin in our lives and so forth. But here's Jesus, who his entire life has lived in communion with the Father. He's the perfect man, and he's lived in perfect fellowship with the Father for all of these years. Remember that the 22nd Psalm mentions the fact, you made me hope in you when I was yet at my mother's breast. So the idea there is that from infancy, there was this communion that existed between Christ, between Jesus and the Heavenly Father. But now this is all severed on the cross. And so this is why Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? And again, it's something that we can't really, we can't comprehend the magnitude of that grief of soul or that torment of mind or, you know, however it would have been. It's just, to a large degree, it is beyond us. But there was one other thing that was happening there as well. And this is one that we cannot even fathom. That at this moment, an eternity of God's holy wrath against sin is somehow absorbed by Christ the eternal Son in those hours there upon the cross. See, this is the one that's just completely beyond us. We cannot even, there's nothing we could know of to even make that kind of connection. But it is here, as we're told in Hebrews, that through the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself without spot to God. It's because he is eternal. And remember, the wrath against sin, the punishment for sin, is eternal judgment. That's the punishment. That's the thing that we've been delivered from. But in order for us to be delivered from it, Jesus had to experience it. He had to suffer the wrath and the indignation of God against all sin. And because that judgment is eternal, only an eternal being could do that. But we are mortals. We are created beings. And this is where it just all, it breaks down for us to the point that this is what I cannot grasp. I cannot fathom it in the least. But I can stand in amazement of it. And I can praise the Lord for it. You know, we live in a time, I heard a statistic the other day that it kind of shocked me, actually. And the statistic was 66% of people polled in America believe they're going to heaven. Of that same 66%, or of that same group of people that was polled, 1% believe that people go to hell. 1%. 66%, sure, they got a pretty good chance of getting into heaven. Only 1% of those polled thought that they might not go to heaven. And this is a radical delusion. This is a massive distortion in people's thinking. Because as we've been studying in Romans here, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God is going to punish sin, and he's going to punish sin eternally. That's the judgment for sin. And the only way to escape the eternal wrath of God is to come to Christ, who bore the wrath of God on the cross and is now able to forgive us of our sins. And as we've been studying, justify us and all of those other wonderful things. But this is what it means when we read Christ died for us. This is what it means when we stop to think about the type of suffering that Jesus endured for us. And this is what I mean by saying, Lord, I don't want my heart to be hardened toward this. I don't want to be so casual about it. I want to be moved when I remember your death. But how do we do that? Practically, as I said, I think it comes down to just taking time to sometimes sit and just think it all through. To take these passages in the Bible, like Isaiah 53 that we read tonight, and to just spend an evening just meditating on it, just reading it over and over again and thinking about it. Or taking those pictures in the Gospels of the crucifixion and reading it through and thinking it through and imagining a little bit what it would have been like and putting ourselves there in that place and just saying, Lord, you're so good. You know, I'm not saying that we have to have some big emotional experience, but I would say if we don't have any emotions about this, there's something wrong. We need the Holy Spirit to do something in us. And I think it's this issue of just a softening up of our hearts. We read in the Bible places about various people, and it says this about them. It says, and their heart was tender toward the Lord. And I like that phrase because it just, what it says to me is, you know, here's a person who's, they're sensitive to the Lord. They're sensitive to the things of God. And they understand that certain things are holy. Certain things are sacred. Certain things need to be approached with an element of sober-mindedness and just deep gratitude and thankfulness. And of course, whenever we consider the cross, that's exactly how we should approach it. And so God help us to do that. To think through these things more. This is what God intended when he gave us his word. You remember, we've many times shared about it. The blessedness of the man or the woman who meditates in God's word. And what does that include? It includes the whole thing, but it certainly includes this aspect of it, to just think on it. We live in a hectic society, don't we? We live in a very busy world. And sometimes it's hard to find the time to really sit down and meditate. And we get so easily distracted by so many other things. And yet, so often there's our Bible just there waiting to be picked up, waiting to be opened, waiting to be read, waiting to be meditated upon, because God's wanting to speak to us. He's wanting to impart things to us. He's wanting to deepen our understanding of him and of his love for us. But we just get so distracted by so many things. I get up and there's that big temptation, you know, just to jump on the internet. or at night, you know, visit those news sites and read this news report and that, you know, what's going on in this place. And obviously all of that's fine to some degree, but you know, what happens to us is we get consumed with that stuff. And the eternal things, the things that really matter when it all comes down. You know, the things that when we're lying on our deathbed, we're not going to be thinking about. We're not going to be caring about that then. It's not going to matter. And I think it would be wise if we just remember that sometimes. You know, just we might be perfectly healthy and we're not near to dying or anything, but, you know, of course we don't know. But on the other hand, it's, you know, so many of the things that consume our lives, so many of the things that we find ourselves preoccupied with, so many of the things that we spend so much mental energy on are things that in the end don't really matter. And God, who became a man and died on a cross to save me of my sin and rose from the dead, I don't have time to think about him. That's the tragedy of the modern Christian experience. But we have to break ourselves out of it and get back to that place of looking at these eternal things, because these are the things that really matter. And what I really need to know when I get up and head out the door in the morning is I need to know the love of Christ. I need to know that God loves me. I need to remember how much he loves me. And I need to go out the door just ready to just worship him and praise him throughout the day because of who he is and what he's done. And man, that's gonna turn everything around on a practical level in so many ways. And so, in closing tonight, we just encourage you, take some time. Open up the Word. Meditate on the love of God, and you can't get a more glorious picture of it than the cross. Let me just finish up by quoting words to you that are familiar. We sing them. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. God commends his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
For the month of December, Back to Basics Radio is offering an engaging 40-day devotional titled When God Became One of Us by Pastor Brian. This book takes a fresh look at the person of Jesus, overviewing the book of John, drawing you into a deeper personal relationship with Christ, while stimulating a greater hunger to know and serve him, and inviting you to dig deeper into the Word of God. The Lord wants to open our eyes to the truth of his glory and greatness. For it is through Jesus that we have hope, peace, forgiveness, and abundant life. And we hope that this devotional will give you a richer understanding of the Incarnation when God became one of us. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this timeless Bible story as told by Pastor Chuck. For a donation of any size to Back to Basics, we will send you this month's book, David and Goliath. You'll find this book and all of our other resources waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.